Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. It is great to see you all this morning. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the stars and all of the planets. I hope everybody had a great weekend. I know it was a cozy and lazy weekend, except it really wasn't. I ended up doing quite a few things, but it was good nonetheless not to feel pressured into doing anything or being anything different than what I would want to do or be. I actually went to a birthday party yesterday for my daughter's 90-year-old father-in-law. We had a great time. And then I went to watch my grandson play 7-on-7 football, which is a completely different game than regular football. And it was hard to pay attention to what was going on because there was so much going on. It's faster than football. It's less violent than football. It's focused more on the throwing and the catching. They don't tackle. And so it was different trying to keep track of, well, what are they doing and why are they doing what they're doing? But it was fun nonetheless, even though it was very cold out there, cold and kind of damp, but it was still fun. And spent the rest of the evening just relaxing, trying to warm up, drinking some hot chocolate. So mostly it was a very good day, a very good weekend as well. Saturday was just kind of lazy. So hopefully all of you had a great time or had some opportunity to recharge your batteries. So today we start the work week, not only a new week, but a new month. And March comes in like a lion, goes out like a lamb, they say. It's pretty much a lion here today and was a bit yesterday as well. So maybe that means spring is right around the corner. And indeed, the actual spring equinox will be this month as well. We will talk a bit about what the week brings as well what the month ahead will bring. But first, let's dive into what is going on today. Today, the moon is in Gemini, one of my favorite signs, of course. And we find ourselves in the first challenge to the new moon's setting of intentions, as in we are in the crisis of action point. And that happens when the sun comes into a square, a 90 degree relationship with the moon. So 90 degrees equals challenge. So what's the challenge? Well, last week, a week ago, 7 days ago, we set out with some intentions of something we wanted to create or something we wanted to do, a project maybe that we had underway. And today might be the first day that you come into a physical roadblock, something in your way, something that may create the need for you to have to go around, go up and over. Somehow there is a challenge to what it is that you wanted to do. So let's look closer at what the moon in, oh, by the way, before I go on to that, the moon is also in a square today to Neptune. So it may be harder to keep your feet underneath you today as the moon is very quick and very emotional. And when it's squaring Neptune, which represents spirit and sort of that foggy feeling, we may not be able to get much traction under things, ideas and what have you this morning, at least while that square is taking place. So if you're feeling a little foggy, if feeling a little slow, getting behind the eight ball this morning, that would be why. Don't sweat it. It will pass. And you'll be back to your moon and Gemini chipper self in no time at all. So the sun or the moon, excuse me, in Gemini takes rulership over sociability, everything that we think about, wittiness, the ability to be in a conversation. In fact, Gemini moon craves conversation. We may be finding ourselves just striking up conversations today with people in line at the grocery store or people that we work with just because we want to be able to converse and to interact with one another. It favors, the moon in Gemini favors short exchanges with one another. So no, like, deep conversations about what's going on with the coronavirus or what's going on in the world or why did Pete Buttigieg quit the presidential race, but why maybe on a superficial level, what on a superficial level, who on a superficial level, right? That's the kind of moon in Gemini energy. It doesn't have the depth or the staying power that maybe the moon in Sagittarius might have in a situation like this. Gemini moon also rules flexibility, especially mental flexibility, the ability to use logic, to think quickly, to come to make connections mentally. So being able to draw those lines to how everything fits and being like that, that kind of creates a fast analysis of what's going on around you or around you in the world. It is also a sign of movement. And what's hysterically funny about that is this morning I get out of bed and my husband had some kind of music on. It was like music from the late 90s. So Eminem and anyway, it was pretty funny. And my body just started moving. So before I knew it, I was doing calisthenics and exercises and dancing. And I was like, wow, at 6 o'clock in the morning, who knew? So, but anyway, I've already got my almost 2,000 steps in just this morning from all of the movement that I did because I was into the groove, right? So on the move, getting around, it is the busy bee energy that I think of with the moon in Gemini, where we're moving maybe from one thing to another, not necessarily sticking on one project, but maybe we have 15 projects that we want to dabble a little bit in. So it favors short trips, movement, and being on the move. So if you find yourself tapping your toes or being fidgety or, you know, moving your pen around, that would be why the moon is in Gemini. Society and everything about it, the internet and social media and all kinds of media. So that could be art, expression, it could be writing, it could be speaking, literally, it could be anything to do with Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and all of that, all favored today with the moon moving through Gemini. Now, we have to watch out for a couple of things as we do when the moon is in any sign, right? There's always the high side, and then there's the lower energy frequency that we might find ourselves into. And that, especially today with the moon in a square to Neptune, might be about losing focus, the inability to stay focused on one topic and in one arena for any length of time today, getting a little bit scatterbrained where, what was I doing? Where was I going? Who was I going to call? What was I going to do next? Where did I leave my glasses? That's my usual one. Where did I leave my glasses? And who? What was it I was thinking? And the words that you lose, right, in your mind, like, that happened to me all weekend. It seemed like I would lose words. So all of that a little bit heightened today as the moon in Gemini comes into a square with Neptune. And also it's just the more lower frequency energy that happens with the moon in Gemini. Superficiality. Remember that busy bee where I said dabbling and moving from flower to flower or from project to project, thing to thing, conversation to conversation. Well, that is also a characteristic of the lower frequency, the superficiality. We're just skating across the top of things. Now, I don't want to say that this is a bad thing necessarily, unless you really need to go deep into something. Today might be the day you put that off until later in the week, because we just don't have that staying ability today. That staying power is not with us. And of course, we need to watch out for flaking out on people or on projects or on things or on ourselves, right? So watch what's happening with that. I'm going to switch over to Facebook real quick so I can say good morning to people that are probably just tuning in and hopefully not even on the right page. Hello, Janet. There we go. It takes its time to come up though. Here we go. So let's see. Good morning, Ashley and Bernone. It's great to see you. And Jacqueline Lopez, Grand Solar Rising. I love the way you speak. It's so poetic, Jacqueline. You should be a poet, maybe. Jacqueline Tyler, good morning to you. And Deb Johnson, good morning. And anybody else out there whose comments I'm missing for some unknown reason, good morning to you as well. So hopefully we can move on here. We have a lot to talk about. Patricia Woods, good morning. Kathy Miller, good morning to you as well. And anyway, let's see. I wanted to also kind of connect the moon in Gemini today with the energy of the Pleiadian Earth energy. So usually I go to the Pleiadian Earth energy later, but I want to do that now, because I think it makes so much sense when you think about the moon in Gemini and its ability to flow and its ability to take action or just to, you know, be busy. But I also want you to relate the moon in Gemini squaring the moon the sun, excuse me. So the moon in Gemini squaring the sun in Pisces and that crisis of action that we've come to. So when we look at the Pleiadian earth energy for the day, we are today at six loving energy. And six energy is the energy of flow. How coherent is that to have the moon in Gemini and the Pleiadian earth energy in teaching us about flow? So remember the six, the numbered part of the Pleiadian day is about the universal energy. That is all life forms in all planets, all sentient beings, all non-sentient beings, all life in general, flowing to flow today. To six. It is about transcending conflict through seeking to blend or merge our energies with one another or with the opposite, right? Seeing the whole and not just the one way. So seeing the bigger picture, not just the smaller picture. It is our lesson to be like a river with no boundaries, to flow and go wherever it is that it takes us, finding new ways to recreate ourselves, finding new ways around, over, or under obstacles. That's that sun squaring the moon or the moon squaring the sun. The obstacles that may come into your path on your way to creating your manifestation or in setting your, completing your intention for the month. So here it is where we offer up no resistance, no resistance. We're just offering ourselves up to what is and allowing it to take us wherever it is it wants to take us. And this is the way for us to stay out of resistance, for us to stay out of anger and upset over what's going on, to just, it's the true meaning of going with the flow, go with the flow. So today we are going with the flow, and the flow is taking us to the earth energy of the day, which is loving. Loving energy in the Mayan calendar was Lamat, and Lamat represented Venus, the morning star or the evening star, and it was a very important piece for the astrology of the Mayans. It is also one of the most important planets, in fact, if not the most important planet for the Pleiadians as well. So here we get this lesson of unconditional love today. It is that love isn't always a gentle, soft kind of energy. Love also knows justice and fights for what is right. It confronts what needs to change or what needs to move in order for us to elevate ourselves or to move up in consciousness, to evolve or to create that pathway to our involution. We were talking about involution on Friday in the Gene Key study group. And by the way, that is open to everybody. So you can go to the Gene Key study group page on Facebook. It's a group page, and you can watch the video that we did. You can interject into any of the conversation going on, create some energy and some buzz around the Gene Keys, because it offers the most important path for us to evolve right now. So today's energy is also about having high ideals, right? Living from a higher truth, trying to move forward in a way that creates something more, right? Something more than what we've accepted. But we must not give in to the temptation to create conflict in the wanting to live out our high expectations or our high ideals. We want to be able to accept differences with one another, to turn the other cheek, if you will, to love others as yourself. And as soon as I wrote that this morning, I went, well, that brings up an interesting concept, doesn't it? So turning the other cheek and loving others as oneself. So that means how important it really is for us to learn how to love ourselves. And I was having a conversation with one of our listeners over the weekend, or maybe it was on Friday, who knows what day it was now. And we were talking about self-love and how important it is. And remember, Mars last week was sitting at the gate 10 in your human design, which is a gate of self-love, right? And it borders in the negative on self-obsession. But I'm here to tell you, I think there are more people that are unloving to themselves than there are that are obsessed with themselves. Narcissism and so forth, that's a different energy altogether from one's denial of their goodness, of their gifts and of their talents and of their worthiness. And that is something that I think we all need to work on in some way, shape, or form in order to understand unconditional love. How can we love another if we really don't love ourselves, right? It wouldn't be real love. It would be conditional love, as the Course in Miracles would say, that any love where you're trying to change someone else fundamentally, or where someone is attempting to make you change to be something more for them, that is conditional love. It isn't true love. It isn't. It doesn't rise to the level of true love. And then that would be a call to bring more love energy into the relationship. And likely it begins with more love to yourself. And the maybe in that case, the most loving thing that you can do for yourself is to get out of that relationship. So it's an interesting thought that we have here today with all of this love energy. And how is that playing in with the conflict that we're seeing and with the changes going on in the universe, with the fear field right now that is amped up, if you will, from coronavirus, from you name it, right? A lot of that outer world stuff is bringing us pain and suffering as our minds keep getting into the way. And we're going to talk about the mind here in just a moment, but I want to head back to Facebook very quickly, see how everybody's doing this morning. Monique, great to see you this morning. Jacqueline, oh snap, I have Mars in gate 10 in red and my center is defined. Well, that is not a bad thing. That is a good thing, right? The identity center, or that white diamond or yellow diamond that the gate 10 sits on, is the center for your soul. And on that gate, then, are many different types of loving energy, the love of self, the love of humanity, the love of spirit, the love of the physical body, forgiveness, leadership, contribution. And let's see, am I missing something? I am missing something. Not sure what I'm missing. Enthusiasm, I think. No, that's on the throat. So we have a center in our design that is specific to love energy, the love that comes from the soul, though, not the more physical aspects of love. So it's a good thing, right? You're here to learn how to love yourself, Jacqueline. I guess that's the short message there. Deb Johnson, weirdness happening to the podcast. You just did a double take. Well, that reminds me of the Matrix, where deja vu is, where there's been an update to the Matrix, where there's been a change to the Matrix. So maybe there's been a change to the Matrix, right? That something's upgraded, something's changed. So I don't know what that's about. But of course, I am a Gemini, so double. I don't know what that's about. So hopefully everything's fine now. I don't know, because I can't tell. Everything that I see when I look at the broadcast in Facebook is like lagging behind. So I have to really, other than to see your words that you've written, I really have to go back to Zoom. Otherwise, I'm caught up in watching motions and so forth that I've already done. So nope, not doing that. All right. So questions, anything anybody has to say about the moon in Gemini or about this loving energy of the day, the sixth energy of flow, put your comments in there. Hopefully I will see those. Let's take a quick look at the week ahead, and then we'll take a quick look at what is going on in March, the bigger picture, if you will. So today we have the moon in Gemini. Tomorrow we also, for a good chunk of the day, have the moon in Gemini, but we will have a short void of course moon from about 6 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. My time, West Coast time, tomorrow, and then the moon will move into Cancer. As the moon moves into Cancer, remember, then it begins to square the planets in Aries, and there isn't anything going on in Libra, but in your chart there might be, and then also opposing the planets in Capricorn. So we're adding emotion to some of the changes that are going on, some of the big construction, reconstruction projects that are going on in our lives and within us. Then we also tomorrow have Venus, who's very activated for the month of March, in a square to the planet Saturn. And that brings up responsibility in our relationships. And later in the week, Wednesday, I believe it is, Mercury in retrograde will move out of Pisces and back into 29 degrees of Aquarius, and then ultimately to 28 degrees Aquarius, and then next week moves back to direct motion. So woohoo! And then also on Wednesday, Venus moves into Taurus, a sign that she rules, and we're going to delve into a little bit more of that on Wednesday, talking about what can we expect from Venus as she rules our finances, as she rules our values, and she rules our relationships. And in Taurus, she is empowered. It is a sign she rules. So we'll take a look at that against the whole of the month and the transits that she will be making. Later in the week, the moon will move out of Cancer and into Leo. For most of the weekend, we will have that moon in Leo, and that is usually more fun-loving, more recreational-minded, etc. Sunday, it'll be early Sunday morning. We have a time change in the U.S. I'm not sure who changes time in the rest of the world, but we will move to Pacific Daylight Time. You all will move to whatever your daylight savings time is. And I'm wondering, I know the state of Washington decided at some point that we were not going back to standard time. I just don't know what year that takes place. So maybe we'll stay on daylight savings time this year when we get into the fall. I have to look that up and find out. Now, as we look ahead at the month of March, we have some big things going on, as Mercury, of course, is one of those planets that will change direction. And anytime a planet changes direction, there's that upset, that wobbliness, and that will happen on Monday, next Monday. And that will also be the day of the full moon, which also happens to be the first super full moon of the year, although it isn't the superest moon. That will happen in April. And just to remind you what a super moon is, it is when the moon approaches within 90% of the closest it ever comes to the Earth. So in other words, it'll be between 90 and 100% of the closest it ever comes. And that means it will look very large. That means that the pull of the tides will be much higher. And since you are made of water mostly, the tides of your own body, your own consciousness will also be more in flux, more heightened, if you will. So I would look to maybe the 8th, 9th, and the 10th of this month to be very, very energetic, possibly emotional, but also possibly very active in getting you somewhere in your life. Later in the month, of course, Mercury will move back into Pisces, where he will finish his shadow time in the sign of Pisces over the next couple of weeks. And then we have the spring equinox. The biggest news possibly of the month will be Saturn's move into Aquarius, the first time since 2017 that the planet Saturn won't be in Capricorn, the sign of its own rulership. But guess what? Saturn is also a co-ruler of Aquarius. So if you think you're done with Saturn, you're probably not. Note, I'm wearing my Saturn earrings this morning because this week I come into my Saturn return exact on Thursday. And so I thought, well, I'm going to honor the planet of duty and responsibility and remind myself that this too shall pass and that all things new lie ahead. Also, this month, Jupiter will come into a quintile with Chiron. I had a thought this weekend, and I want to bring it up, but I haven't really researched it very much, so that's probably why I would not want to bring it up. But note that maybe the week before, we had Jupiter in a sextile to Neptune. And I told you about how that was akin to the Saturn sextile Neptune that we had last year. And it was about embodying more and more spirit. But Jupiter in Capricorn is very much dutiful and bound by taking one step at a time. And it also there is going to approach Capricorn in very much the same way as Saturn, where it sort of shows us the weaknesses, the unsustainable features of our lives and of the collective, because Jupiter and Saturn both are collective planets, maybe not collective, but transpersonal. So it affects not only you as an individual, but all of us as humanity. and in a sextile to Neptune, that rules germs, hello, bacteria, and the body's immune response to said bacteria. This could, and in a sextile where there's this smooth flow of things that blow up out of control when we are not paying attention to the unsustainable nature of things in our lives. So it'll be interesting to see where this soon to be labeled pandemic goes. And at least in this state where I live has had two deaths now to the coronavirus. And we are aimed at another Jupiter sextile Neptune exact in June. So I want to say that there may be some progress as we move into June, but maybe another level of this particular coming together of those planets. And then in November, we have the third and final pass for this. But those two planets are never very far out of each other's, out of closeness to that particular sextile. So it could be an interesting next 6 to 8 months as we move through the ramifications of this kind of virus on the planet. And unfortunately, the effects may be pretty severe at sometimes and waning at others. But don't go into fear around this, because that just energizes it more, right? This energizes it more. So I remember in years ago, I learned theta healing, and I don't know if you guys have heard of theta healing before, but it is a healing practice that takes you into the subconscious, and from that place you can go into previous lifetimes, and usually you're doing this with another person, so you're working as a theta healer on someone else, but you can also do this with yourself. And in this process, you can also speak to your own body's immune system. You can speak to your own body's DNA. And so when I went to bed last night, I thought, I'm gonna go in and I'm gonna talk to my DNA. I'm gonna ask my cells, my cellular bodies, to quickly recognize the coronavirus if indeed it shows up, and that I do not need to experience the illness of it, right? That I just want my body to recognize it and to heal with it and to move on, right? That is exactly what I think we all need to do. We need to become, of course, more responsible in the outer world, washing our hands and, you know, doing the safety things that we should do all the time anyway, doing the things that support our bodies to be able to fight off a virus or a bacteria or anything that comes along. But also on the more spiritual level, we don't have to take on these things. We don't have to take on these viruses. Literally, we have the power, we have the free will to determine whether or not we want to experience this virus. And I've chosen not to, right? I've chosen that my body will recognize it immediately and do what it needs to do to fight that, or to put it, you know, to say, hi, how do you do? Thank you very much. I'm past this. How do you do? But thank you for leaving. And that is what I'm going to go with. So I encourage all of you to do that on some level too, according to your own beliefs and how you heal yourself, or how you work with your own healing power within your body, because we do not need to experience this, right? We don't have to. That is a choice, right? And a choice that's made at a level that we can work with every day, right? So every day. So that's just me, but you guys can do whatever you want to do. Let's see what else later in the month. After Saturn's move into Aquarius and Jupiter's quintile to Chiron, we will have Mars moving into Aquarius, and Jupiter and Mars will meet up at the end of the month, the 31st, and into what's the next month? April 1st, April Fool's Day. And that energy will be very powerful as well. And there's something to be said here for us to really watch what happens in the world from about March 21st to about April 21st, or the 23rd to the 23rd or so of April. Because I think what we're going to start to see is the high side the changes that Saturn in Aquarius will bring to us. Now, I'm always Pollyanna. I'm always more optimistic. So I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be right, great breakthroughs in technology, breakthroughs in healing. I'm thinking it's going to be really good things. There could be some more negative things, though. Watch for those as well, because Aquarius has a high side and a low frequency. And we don't want to be blinded, you know, just by seeing only the good. We want to incorporate it all. And so be watching, be watchful for that third to the, or that 23rd to about the 23rd of April for what do you see in the world? I'm going to have my journal out and I'm going to have my, I'm going to probably go through every day some of the things that I've seen that, that remind me about Saturn's move into Aquarius and what are those high sides. And before we get to that day, we will talk a lot about that and what can we expect and what are we looking for and how can we prepare ourselves to get there and to be able to embrace this energy. And then that move of Saturn into Aquarius is short term because Saturn will then retrograde in May, moving backward into Capricorn for a short stay. And then as we get into the end of the year, December, Saturn will again move back into Aquarius and meet up with Jupiter at zero Aquarius on the winter solstice. So interesting times we live in, and it's just so fun to really watch how all of these things happen one after another, and you know how our response to it really drives what happens on the planet during this time. All right, I'm going to head back to Facebook and see what people are saying. Andusa, an Aquarius feast. My Aquarius sun sign is rejoicing. My Aquarius Jupiter is rejoicing. And everybody has Aquarius somewhere, but you know, Aquarius, like any sign, also has its shadow, and we'll want to learn what that's all about as well. Jacqueline says, my birthday is 4/23, and my north node is in Sag. I wonder what is coming for me. I eagerly await for my new calm lessons. And Colleen, good morning. I'm not at all worried for the coronavirus for myself or family. We have good immune systems. That's my belief. And you need to stick with that. That is awesome. Jacqueline says, my kids think I'm crazy when I told them, if you speak to yourself, it will listen. Then they said, no, mom, that is how you get locked up in the crazy house. Oh, Lord. That's funny. That's true. But, you know, hey, Pluto's sitting at the gate of psychosis. So why not talk to yourself, right? Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel says her birthday is also 4/23. Exactly. You early Taurians are having your birthdays very near again to the planet Uranus. That should be fun. So you guys who are early Taurians, so the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, maybe that first week of Taurus, should be watchful this month for your ruling planet is making many contacts as well as moving into a sign she rules. So you'll want to see what that brings for you. Jan Landry, hers is 4/23 as well. The three of you. Oh my goodness, that's funny. So Jacqueline Lopez, Debbie Tibbetts-Tumiel, and Jan Landry all have birthdays on April 23rd. Great. Anyway, so I would say for everybody, though, this is a really good time, even now, why not start journaling your experience? If you've always been a journaler, this isn't new. But if you're new to journaling, you know, try it. There's nothing to lose, right? It helps you kind of crystallize and see what's going on. What are my thoughts and what are my feelings and what are my highs and what are my lows? But then also, what am I seeing in the news? What's in my outer world? How are people responding to me? What brilliant ideas have I had? You know, keeping a running flow of all of that. And I can't reach it right now, but get yourself a beautiful journal. Mine has a peacock on it and it's just really beautiful. It feels good to have it in, you know, right in it. So get something that you really love. Get yourself colored pens. I have a whole bunch of them in different colors because I just like to write in color. Oops, am I leaking? No. So get yourself colored pens, get yourself a beautiful journal, and write about what is happening around you and to you as you're evolving. I think it's interesting to do that. Okay, now I want to share my screen for a minute because I want to shift over to what is going on in human design this week, because today we moved into a different energy. So just one moment while I hit share my, first of all, I better make sure the screen is correct. There we go. There's the just now. Now I'm going to share my screen. And again, I apologize because this particular image, it's hard to center this so that everybody can see because of that stupid banner up there, which I get it. If it's your website, you like to have that so everybody can see it. So here we are today with the sun and the earth changing gates. And they do this once every 5 to 7 days. And that's because the human design week does not run the same as the Gregorian calendar week, nor does it run the same as the Pleiadian astrology calendar. So we have yet another timekeeper here to help us understand what the energies are that we are moving through as human beings. So as we, I wonder if I click on that, does that make it bigger? No, it doesn't do anything to it. Well, anyway, so what we find this week is that the sun has moved into the gate 63, which is right here on the head center. It is the gate of questioning. It is the gate of inquiry in the gene keys. It is the highest expression of truth in the gene keys. And in its lowest expression, it is the energy of doubt, and suspicion. And often that doubt and suspicion in the shadow isn't about what's going on around you so much as doubting yourself, your own abilities, your own strengths, your own gifts, that you're making good decisions for you, etc. So that particular energy of doubt can be very negative in the impact it has on you as an individual moving out to greet the world and do what it is that you're here to do in life. The earth, which lays down the challenge, right? That the challenge between the sun and the earth is about evolution and how are we going to raise our consciousness. And the earth at gate 64 is in the gate of the big picture. And it's also on this head center. Gate 64 is right here. And gate 63 is right here. So we have the sun here. We have Pluto at gate 61 in the middle. And we have the earth at gate 64. So consequently, this head center is totally activated and it's hanging. Now, unless you guys have the opposite gates, the 4, the 24, or the 47, this energy is all hanging. So this is going to play out with other people in your life, your relationships, or as other planets might transit through the 4, 24, or 47, or with people that you work with. So it's a hanging gate, which always means it plays out and gets expressed with others. So for example, the sun at gate 63 of self-doubt could play out if somebody questions you about what you're doing. What does that mean? And you may take it personally, like, oh, I'm doubting that I know what to do or how to solve this or what to say. Or maybe somebody asks you a question that triggers that self-doubt within you. And so we want to be able to watch for that. The gate 64 is the big picture gate, but it is also a gate in the lowest expression or in the shadow expression of confusion. And the gate is called the big picture because what happens in this gate quite frequently, and it's almost a joke, is that we get downloaded completely this information. It might be a book. It could be a project. It could be something that just comes downloaded complete, but without the manual, right? Without the manual that tells us what to do. That A goes into B slot and C goes into D slot, but we don't know this, right? It's like getting something from IKEA and bringing it home and then finding out you don't have the instructions. And now how do I put this together? So confusion here. And so the energy of the gate 64 is begging us to go into our imagination, right? To go into our imagination. What can you imagine this might look like, or what can you imagine how this might play out, right? So this takes us to ultimately illumination, the light, right? That's what is the highest expression of this particular gate. Now, I want to show you something else here. This is, if you look at this human design chart, you see there's a lot of energy hanging here, right, on the head center. There's one hanging off the throat, nothing hanging off the identity, nothing hanging off the will center, one or two gates hanging off the solar plexus, two hanging off the sacral. But look at our root center. 60, 52, 54, 38, 58 are all activated on the root center here. And the root center and the head center have something in common. And that is they are pressure centers. So the pressure in the head center is all about mental pressure to answer questions. Who, what, why, when, where, how. How, in particular, is the gate 64. Why is the gate 61? And the gate 63 is often about the can you prove it, right? Where doubt would come in, because can you prove that this is the way things are supposed to be? Can you prove that we have the power to heal our own bodies? And the feeling that we get when we bring something forth and somebody might test us a bit or question us, and we assume that they are asking us to prove something, and are we prepared to prove it? So there's a lot of mental pressure that goes on in this center, but this center is also the center for ideas and inspiration. So we can have multitudes of ideas. We can become very inspired. And this can also, with that pressure, cause us to leap into things or to leap out of things, right? To leaping in, leaping out, changing, joining in with things, because right now we might be in the thralls of that energy. So we want to be very aware of who we really are in all of this, because that pressure up in the head is about mental pressure to answer those questions. And then the root center, a pressure center that is about doing. So literally we have what, 5 out of 9, 3, 6, 9. So we have 5 out of 9 gates defined, hanging or not, on the root center. And we have all of the gates hanging on the head center. So we can see that we're under a lot of pressure today, especially, but maybe, you know, for a while yet, at least for the week, we have the pressure in the head. And these pressures down here, let's see what's at the gate 58 is the south node. That will be there. That's also going to change this month. That will be there until the end of the month when they change over to the gates of love here, the 10 and the 15. And the 38 is Mars, and the 54 is Jupiter. And Saturn is at 60 right here. And what is at 52? It must be the North Node. So we have some longevity here as well. So for the week, we may be feeling under the pressure to do. So those of you who have an open root center, so if you look at your own human design chart and you see that the very bottom center is white and not brown, then for you, this is going to be a time where you're feeling a lot of pressure to get things done. And it may cause you to keep moving forward instead of resting when you should. So we'll want to be watchful of this pressure to do, because you are a human being, not a human doing. But one really good thing here is that you do get a taste of what endurance energy is like. As long as you understand that you will not always have endurance energy unless you have a defined root center. And in the head center, it is the energy of solving, finding solutions. Again, though, finding solutions on an open head may be where you are being impacted by these gates in some way defining you. So it could be a really interesting week with mental pressure and the pressure to do, kind of squeezing us from both ends, if you will. So important, follow your type and your strategy and your authority. And if you do not know what those keywords are, you need to find out your type. You are either a generator, manifesting generator, reflector, projector, or a manifester. Your strategy is based on that type. A generator and a manifesting generator respond to what is showing up in the outer world, while a projector waits to be invited in to the big things of life. A manifester is an initiator, and they have to let others know when it is they're making changes. And a reflector has to wait 28 days to enter into the big things in life, relationships, relocations, job changes, etc. And I'm missing a type. I combined generator and manifesting generator. That's why. And then authority is sort of the final way that you know whether or not you've entered into decisions correctly. It could be that you have emotional definition, which means you have emotional authority and you have to wait to make decisions with clarity over time. You might have sacral authority, which means that you know in your body when you're in response to something in your outer world, whether it is correct for you or not. Only generators or manifesting generators can have that type of authority. You might have splenic authority, which is intuition-based or instinct-based. But again, you know in the moment whether something is right for you or not. And some people might have ego authority, which means that it's your will. Most people that have ego authority are manifesting types, manifestors, which means that it's what you will to happen that is your authority. And some of you may have at the very bottom, it says maybe self-authority or no authority. If you're a reflector like our Debbie Hedden is, she has no authority. So all she has is the reflection of what she sees from around her. The people in her life, the transiting planets will show her what's correct for her. And in some ways, some projectors also have that type of authority, where they also may not have to wait for those 28 days, but they are always looking at the outer world, hearing what they say to other people that help them get clarity about what is going on for them. And of course, you can always have a human design reading to get clear about how to use your type, strategy, and authority, and to understand who you are really meant to be. Because it's more difficult to understand what I'm talking about right now without really getting close, up close and personal with that. And how do all of these things relate to you? So going back to, I'm going to stop sharing for a moment and go back to Facebook, see how people are doing with questions. Where did Facebook go? There you are. Okay. Jacqueline says, sounds like me cutting myself a little short for my own things to be there for my mom in the hospital. Balance, balance, balance. And Dusa says, I've been having an urge to move. Oh, you jumped. Where did it go? To move. It move in dancing. I find is helpful with a pressured root center. That, you know, that's a really good idea, just to move your body and to, you know, shake things up a bit. And Camille says, projector, emotional projected by solar plexus. So a projector with emotional definition is someone who is waiting for the invitation into the big things in life. You don't have to wait, you know, for an invitation for the little things, just the big things. And then once you have that invitation, you do not say yes in the moment and you do not say no in the moment. You wait for your emotional wave. And that means that you're checking in with yourself. How does this feel? Does this feel good? Does this feel correct? Does this make me happy? Does this feel true for me? And note how most of those questions that I just asked, with the exception of the first one, are easily answerable with a yes or a no, because that taps you into a truth as opposed to the open-ended questions like, how would that be? How would that feel? Because that gets you up into your head, where then you begin a thinking process and that's pulled you out of the emotional. So you want to stay in your emotional body and you're asking yourself the question, does this feel right for me? Does this feel good to me? Not how does this affect my family? Not how does this affect the work, my coworkers? Does this make me feel good? It's about the me here. And what's correct for you, because ultimately you discover what's correct for you is correct for all people involved. That's the projector way, by the way. Deb Johnson says, I'm a projector, a self-projected. So Deb, you know, how we were just kind of chuckling a little bit ago about people who talk to themselves and, you know, getting committed. Well, projectors who are self-projected often talk to themselves. They may hear themselves saying something and it gives them clarity. Or they may constantly feel like they need to talk to other people. And I saw that I have a son who is a projector who has self-projection and as his authority. And I didn't realize what was happening at first, but he would often sit down and just start talking to me about what it is that he wanted to do in his life or about what, you know, he was going to do tomorrow. And then before the conversation, I never say a word, right? I'm just sitting there listening to him because he's moving through all of the answers on his own, just in an energetic way with me sitting there. And I would interject sometimes and say, I think that's a good idea. Or how do you feel about that? I would ask him questions. But for the most part, self-projection is where you are verbally processing with others, or even just hearing what you have to say about the answer to your question, Deb. So don't worry if you're talking to yourself. It's all meant to be. Camille says, I talk to me. A lot of projectors talk to them, right? And a lot of people do this because it is, in a way, a way that we tap into what's true for us, especially if we don't have a lot of people around us often. So, and it helps in the open centers to find wisdom about what it is that's correct for you, the correct expression for you. All right. So we've looked ahead at the week. We've looked ahead at March. We've done the Pleiadian Earth energy. We've done the moon. I think that is it for me today, except for, oh, my Lord, my Gene Keys book. And I want to draw some cards for us for the week. Since it's a high energy week, and because we're at the beginning of a new month, we can kind of take a look at, I'm going to draw an animal card and a goddess card. And it will represent for us the energies of not only this week, but the month of March. March. I can't even believe it's March, right, guys? Wasn't it just like last week when we were talking about the new year? Woohoo! So we have, we had two animals that dropped in on us. We have seahorse spirit that says watch and wait. And it is card number 53, which is an 8. Why can't I get that? There we go. Maybe you guys can see that. And the second one is wasp spirit, which is sometimes life stings, but look at the number. It's card number 64. That is the position of the earth this week at Gene Key or Gate 64. Interesting, I think. Let's see what that might mean for us. And by the way, I'm using Colette Baron Reed's The Spirit Animal Oracle, and they were both right side up. So let's start with 53, seahorse spirit. What does that mean for us? The oracle's message says, hovering gracefully, the seahorse observes with the perspective of one who is not engulfed by the drama, remaining at a distance from all the turbulence. Seahorse spirit appears at this time to remind you of the need to be neutral and gain perspective. Your message from seahorse spirit is, not my circus, not my monkey. Spirit wants you to know that even if you are tempted to jump into the fray and try to fix things, the best way to serve yourself and to others right now is to remain calm and simply watch and see. Another message here is that whatever your query, seahorse spirit asks you to step back from it. Be willing to explore things from different angles. Spirit asks you to step back from it, be willing to explore things from different angles rather than a single one, and just observe what is possible. From the perspective of the position of the neutral observer, you will discover a myriad of opportunities and a deeper understanding of what you seek and why, and you will know beauty, truth, love, and wisdom. Gotta love that one. Let's look at Wasp, card 64. And Wasp, there's the card. Looks like she's wearing shoes. Sometimes life stings. Not all that spirit creates in nature is easy to love. But when we look through the eyes of Wasp spirit, we recognize that even though sometimes life stings, there is a purpose for pain, just as there is a purpose for wasps in the natural world. Wasps keep insect populations down, supporting the growth of plants. So too, the sting of life may hurt, and you may feel deeply disappointed or even resentful that Wasp spirit has shown up, but you will soon come to see that spirit has something wonderful in store for you. You may well come to realize that being stung led to something far better than you had envisioned for yourself. Perhaps behind the scenes, Wasp spirit was conspiring with spirit to ensure that you could grow something of value to you. Spirit has a plan, and Wasp spirit plays a part. Have you ever looked back and been glad your prayers weren't answered because the path you took led to something far better? Wasp spirit is a reminder to reflect on those times, for today's sting may hurt, but something better awaits you. All right. Well, there's that. So our animal spirits are telling us, be watchful, be waiting, and sometimes life stings. Okay, let's do a goddess card here. Did I do that wrong? There we go. So let's see what the goddesses want to say to us about the month of March or this week. And we get Ocean, which is that two? No, it's just one. Ocean. And it is the card of generosity or the goddess of generosity. And it looks like it's card number 40. And she was right side up. So Ocean. The empowerment message, as she was right side up, says, there is a universal law that centers on unrestrained generosity and flow. Ocean, the benevolent Yoruban river goddess, the representation of nourishment, healing, fertility, and prosperity, reminds you that life herself is given to you freely. You have been offered air to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, and shelter to sleep in. So it is your task to give freely of yourself, no matter how big or small the act, without expectation of receiving anything in return. The goddess Ocean encourages you to allow gratitude to permeate everything you do right now, even the smallest of opportunities and gestures. The very experience of giving and being generous with your heart, time, money, assistance, kindness, and care will provide more value than you can imagine. And when you release all attachments to the outcome, you will be surprised to see how the good fortune you have bestowed on others comes back to you tenfold. Ocean reminds you that this is a truth that has existed since time began and will continue until the world's very end. Great reminder. And one last card, a wisdom of the oracle. And then I will leave you to your day. Don't know why that one was upside down, but whatever, right? Okay, so Wisdom of the Oracle, also call it Baron Reed's deck of cards. And we get Mending, card 52. Mending, right side up. And let's see what that might mean for us. Boy, I'm making a mess of my desk this morning. Mending. The essential meaning of the card is forgiveness, making amends, healing after arguments. Each time we are hurt and allow the hurt to pass through us without understanding and integration, we accumulate an unwanted burden. This keeps us chained to the very things we need to heal: the pain, the memories, the echoes of resentments, and the arguments that we rehearse over and over. Now is the time for mending rifts, healing wounds, and letting go of the old hurts in order to reclaim your power. Now is the time to forgive, to release, to make peace, and to make amends to others. Set yourself free. Interesting. Some of the same energies that are on the identity center that we talked about this morning, right? Love, generosity, forgiveness, all of that is something that we're being asked to pay attention to this month. All right, guys, that is it for me today. Tomorrow, I will not be live on air. I have my annual physical time, and that's early in the morning. So I will not be on air. I will return Wednesday morning, and we'll talk about Venus moving into the sign of Taurus and what that means for all of us, as well as there was something else on that day. What was it? It is Mercury retrograde moving back into Aquarius. I think we've talked enough about Mercury retrograde, so we'll spend the time talking about Venus and Taurus. Okay, thanks very much for joining me this morning. I wish you all many blessings in the day. Take care. Bye for now.